Welcome to Hot News. Next to me is a horrible sanity-destroying visage.
I'm Rudolf Hucker, and on my left I can see the Bride of Frankenstein charging up from a USB socket.
I'm Wilma Fingerdoo, and on my left is a face from a haunted mirror.
Thanks. I'm Mia Harkness, and popping through a trapdoor in the floor is a hunchback henchman with a brain in a jar.
I'm Juan Kerr. On my left, the Grey Lady hovers menacingly.
I'm Norma Snuckers, and I have a bad feeling about this.
Has anyone seen my slipper? I had it a minute ago. Oh, someone do the bongs while I look for it.
Now you see it.
Nugget needs a new noggin.
You're bound to warm up if you get your hands on a python.
Lampitz prefers people to see him bang.
Haste still pays haste, and leisure answers for leisure. Like doth quit like, and measure still for measure.
Jacques gets to second base, but who's on first?
BGS, ipsum, lorem, dolo, sit, amet. Oh, bugger.
Immunity equals opportunity.
First this evening, I've missed this. First this evening, we have a woeful tale of abandonment, of a get-rich-quick scheme gone badly wrong, of prestidigitation and sleight of hand, of the now-you-see-the-carrier-now-you-don't variety, with a side order of grief, misery, missing millions, and a few ships that mysteriously vanish into thin air. As with the film The Prestige, behind every brilliant scientist, behind every mind-boggling feat of magic, misdirection and marvel, there's a dark, dark tale. Hutton's very own mad professor, Professor Eros Madelung, pilot of the FTM Isfahan, galactic wonder seeker and tour bus driver, had poured billions into his flying science lab. Equipped with destination randomizer, voting equipment for the occupants to cast their ballots as to where to head to next, and every kind of scanner, probinator, map-making tool, and wibbly science machinery known to humanity, and a few whose purpose is, as of yet, undetermined, but they're made up of glowing red tubes and pulse mysteriously. The Isfahan, whilst not at the cutting edge of science, certainly qualifies as the blunt instrument of exploration that's sometimes necessary when smashing through new frontiers. But Professor Madelung, living as he does on a stipend from Alvin made up from the tips from the end of the bar, a few coins that fall down the sofa, and whatever's left after all the dog treats have been bought, needed a few bob more for his latest experiments. What anyone needs that many retorts for, and why the bubbling and smoking glassware is absolutely necessary for particle physics is anyone's guess. But Professor Madelung was indeed listening to Hutton's recent broadcasts about the Get Slightly Less Poor Quick scheme foisted on the galaxy by Brewer Corporation's poor marketing decisions. Yes, he flogged the Isfahan. Lock, stock, and two smoking engines. Having flown it to DESO and offloaded all of his expensive equipment, he sold it back to the Brewer Corporation, hoping to trade it in for exactly the same model, just with a few fewer light years on the clock, and the handle for the glove box fixed after that incident with, you know, trying to slam it shut with an illicit case of onion head wedged in the hinge. 1.5 billion credits in the pocket as an incentive will make people make rash decisions. The carrier was duly towed away by a waiting carrier, and a new one installed in orbit around DESO. That would have been the end of the matter, right up until the commander knocked on his cabin door with one simple question. Professor Madelung, where are all my ships? Yes, the Prof had absent-mindedly forgotten that his passengers had stored all of their ships and their modules and all of their worldly possessions aboard the Isfahan, which of course had been taken to the wrecker's yard for reclamation and was most likely being crushed in a convenient local singularity before being weighed and sold as raw materials. Those pythons, the anacondas, the odd asp or two, the prismatic shields in storage that took weeks to obtain, Grandma's ashes, the lot, all gone. To say the Prof had an "oh no" second is an understatement. We can imagine the look on his face as he realised that he'd just potentially rendered all of his passengers penniless. But as luck would have it, the authorities at DSO are a kind lot and had moved the contents into cold storage. We would like to take this opportunity to ask any commanders that left their items unattended in the docking area of the FTM Isfahan to reclaim them as soon as possible, please, from the authorities at DSO. Eros has offered to buy a couple of beers for the affected commanders just as soon as fleet carriers get a bar that's accessible on foot.
Hutton Orbital Incident Report Form. Incident location, LHS 449. Date and time of incident, 9:17 hours, 27th October, 3307. Reporting Officer, Mia Harkness. Circulate 2, His Fluffiness, Alvin DeFeer, and Progenitor Leo Wolf. Type of incident, traffic and property damage. Type of damage, life and ship. So, it was a chilly October morning and Commander Count Nugget, long-time friend of, and saw so many rumours about, Commander Deadmeat GF, accepted a mission to eliminate scavengers terrorising the CHU biochemical institution in the LHS 449 system. She requisitioned an Apex taxi and, climbing into a dominatrix suit, enjoyed some relaxing and occasionally risque banter with the pilot during the short trip. Shortly before landing, knowing the mission was all about combat, she switched to a more practical dominator suit and disembarked to set about her mission with a sense of purpose and a slight regret that she'd not used the lavatorial facilities aboard the taxi. The mission was relatively uneventful. Well, for Count Nugget, the events for the scavengers were somewhat fatal. Happy with the results, she hailed an Apex, which dropped into the system just before morning tea break time. With her bladder on critical and desperate to get into the little commander's room, Count Nugget foolishly decided that she would be able to board the taxi and therefore relieve herself somewhat quicker as she jumped onto the nose of the Adder and swung into the airlock as it landed. Now, unfortunately, probably due to a lack of concentration brought on by what was now borderline incontinence, she was slightly off her aim and just at the peak of her jump took an Adder to the face with the expected disastrous consequences. Hutton Orbital would like to apologise for any damage to the undercarriage of the Adder, the loss of taxi fare for the pilot, and any cleaning bills incurred by either the taxi or the landing pad owner due to the final act of the stricken commander being, well, pureed, really.
The Python. Everyone's favourite ship. The ultimate space multi-tool for the commander that just wants one ship to do absolutely everything. A quick jaunt over to Colonia? Bit of a how's your shield holding up in a local Hazrat site? A bevy of pushy passengers positively prodding every possible nerve by demanding that you stop and pick them up a six-pack of Giza beer and some pork scratchings or they won't pay you for the transportation fee? Sorted. Need something to transport you to the next derelict settlement that's just begging to be emptied of all the stuff lying around with someone else's name on it. Yes, a python is the thing for you. What's more, it can be loaded up to the brim with rares. Yes, we know that you prefer your Lycons. After all, you're truckers. But you'll be flying your Type 7 and thinking about the python. With the latest round of ship improvements and updates released by the Pilots Federation in the last week, the ultimate ship has got even more ultimate with the addition of new cockpit glass. The would be named after a primate, but that would be a copyright infringement, cockpit safety glass has been replaced free of charge. Your new cockpit windows have a built-in heating element that just refuses to frost up, even on the dark side of the coldest moons. And what's more, it can't be cracked. No more crazy paved view. No more smashy damage from your latest dirty hober nose first. It's not combat unless you can see the whites of their eyes combat maneuver. Of course, it's not made of Indestructium, that mythical material that the PF use for nav beacons, or the little projectors outside space stations. That stuff's not transparent. But it's the next best thing. Right up until it actually smashes. Without warning. It goes from fine to where's my oxygen gone in a fraction of a second. There are rumours that there will be a safety recall in coming weeks to bring back the school safety shatterproof ruler effect that crazy paves your view as a warning that you shouldn't headbutt things that are harder than you. But in the meantime, enjoy your uninterrupted view, and if you need to keep your hands warm on a cold day, just lean forward and place them on the screen. Guaranteed frostbite free.
After numerous complaints that commanders venturing out on foot weren't getting enough bang for their bucks out of rocket launchers, the Pilots Federation have provided a free update to everyone's favourite off-the-shoulder rocket holder. Yes, the payload now comes with a free munition-mounted 3D printer and paintball load. Not content with redecorating the scenery with pieces of hapless scavenger, you can now see exactly where you've fired your oversized compensator with wall and scenery mounted damage indicators that resemble the splashback from a particularly explosive visit to Cubicle 3. The area will be liberally peppered with scorch marks, paint applied to cunningly resemble holes. We've all seen that Roadrunner cartoon with the paint pot on the oncoming train, and even patented 3D style battle damage. There are rumours that scavengers have fitted anti-graffiti systems to their own weaponry and do a discreet tidy up after you've left, scrubbing the walls clean and removing any naughty marks that you've left around the place, leaving them once again pristine and ready for the next rotten robber to drop in and pick up all the bits that they carefully left lying around the place as an excuse to engage you in combat.
On to the subject of fleet carriers briefly. Whilst we do our best not to report things that might cause a bit of a hoo-ha, Hutton has been accused of causing a little bit of confusion with a recent news article. It appears that the Brewer Corporation's engineering team are indeed fans of this very radio show, and rather than taking the things that we report with rather large, tight nine-sized pinch of salt, they have treated it as the gospel according to Alvin, or rather, as if handed down on tablets of stone. Yes, the Hutton new measurement system, as reported in recent weeks, appears to have been adopted by engineers responsible for the mass calculations of shipyards and components aboard the fleet carriers. Adopting the one, too many shitloads approach, they have rather lackadaisically just marked the massive ships as shitloads, but denoting the available storage spaces as having an availability of many. Meaning that commanders began seeing reports of negative quantities on board their carriers. Accuracy appeared to have gone out of the window when both the mass of the carrier, the mass of the Anacondas that the carrier was carrying, and the mass of the components that the Anaconda was carrying aboard the carrier were all reported using the same unit. And what's more, they forgot to carry the one. A notice has been issued to all Brewer Corporation staff reminding them that the standard unit of measurement for carriers is based on the ton, which of course can be subdivided into the kilogram and gram. Definitely not the ounce, pound, stone, or indeed any of the Hutton measurements, and definitely not the archaic measurements used by the night shift. Many doesn't sufficiently differentiate from lots or even shitloads when it comes to adding up exactly how many grams per square centimeter the load on the deck is when you're trying to lower your asp into the repair bay. Of course, Hutton truckers are still allowed to use their standard measurements when in Hutton space, but that's because we don't have a Fleet Carrier Administration office anywhere in Alvin's domain, and it is still acceptable to reply to the question, how big is my ask, but with the words, and it's a big but, fonking massive.
With the recent appointment of 4 new engineers in the galaxy, all based out in Colonia, and the addition of social spaces to certain landable megaships, we have it on reliable authority that there are 7, but not the Gnosis, any of the prison ships, or indeed fleet carriers. There is still one burning question. Where's Jacques?
In Colonia.
We know that bit, but Jacques is a barman, a cyborg barman, so where's Jacques' bar?
In Colonia.
Yes, his bar is in Colonia, but given that Jack is a barman with a bar in a station with his name on it, where exactly can one find Jack when one is on foot?
He is in Colonia!
Not sure you're understanding the question. If Jack, who is a cyborg and is a barman in his own bar, in his own station, which has a social space that contains a bar and a barman, exists, where can someone who is looking for Jack actually find Jack?
I'm not confused at all. He's in Colonia with all those new engineers. They're all in Colonia.
But where?
Colonia!
Where in Colonia?
Well, don't ask me. I'm not in Colonia. But he's definitely in Colonia, without any question.
How do you know?
Well, his name's on the station that says Jacques, so that's definitely where Jacques is.
I'm not sure I follow your logic. If I go to Big Harry's monkey hideout, are you saying I'd find Big Harry and his monkey?
Haven't got a clue. It's not in Colonia, though, I can tell you that.
But Jacques is?
Yeah.
I'm glad we cleared that up. So, Jacques, he's in Colonia. You just can't see him, but you can go and meet the new engineers there.
Where?
Colonia.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Okay, Haxwing. Tharg apparently decided he's ready to get punched in the mandibles again. This time, he's hit 2 systems in the Pleiades, Astro, Pleiades Sector, PDS-B40, and 6 in the Witchhead Nebula. Shinvi, Evangelus, Lembas, Haki, Wellington, and Onyros. The plan is to push the Goids out of the Pleiades systems first, starting with Astro. Check the AXI Defense Targets channel on Discord for updates and priorities. Each attack system has a damaged starport needing evacuation and emergency supplies. These stations are Copernicus Observatory, Ayushu Dock, Khan Relay, Ezra Point, Hanna Enterprise, Carrion Vision, Shirdil Orbital, and Sal Prospect. Search and rescue pilots are asked to pick up evacuees in the passenger lounges, as well as rescue any occupied escape pods in the docking barrels of each station. Haxcom's new flagship, the Fleet Carrier FTM Fellowship, will be stationed initially in the Pleiades region and then relocate to the Witchhead once operations transition. The Fellowship is open to all for repairs and rearming. For anyone new to Thargoid combat, make sure you bring your best engineered combat ship armed with Guardian weapons for interceptors, or at least Aegis AX multi-cannons for fighting scouts. You can find targets and non-human signal sources, or look for the AX conflict zones to fight off multiple waves of scouts and interceptors. If you are doing rescue operations, fill your ship with economy cabins and at least one heatsink launcher. It gets hot in those burning stations. Once we have these systems under control and the station fires are out, remember that Operation Ida is going to need help hauling the millions of tons needed to repair these 8 damaged stations. There's something for all of us to do in this conflict, truckers. Stay safe out there, keep an eye on the signal sources, and always be ready to defend the mug.
Hexcom message complete. Defend the mug.
Encrypted transmission complete.
And now, it's time for the hot pit bit with me, Juan Kerr. Before I get to the meaty bit of this week's update, I'd like to reassure everyone that the situation in Haghole has resolved itself. Earlier in the week, it was reported that things are a little dry in the Haghole. In fact, so dry that the Haghole was described in local news bulletins as suffering from a bit of a drought. We're delighted to report that after the liberal application of a lot of lubrication, the Haghole is now back to normal. As it were. Here at Hutton, the future is blue, and the future is most definitely not orange. A calming sea of azure blue laps the master control threatboard here in the Hutton Situation Room. There are no adverse states and none pending in any of the Hutton systems, and everywhere is happy. A couple of systems have outdone themselves at elated. But steady on, people, pace yourselves, keep calm, and there's no need to be excitable. Four systems are in the BGS basement this week, and that old perennial procrastinator Barnard Star has slipped a point to 34% to once more take this week's wooden spoon. No other factions are in conflict, so this is an ideal time to get into Barnard Star and raise the influence. And as sure as large leathery eggs are, well, large leathery eggs, you can bet that they're not far away from another round of bickering, tying up buckets of influence, so get in there and truck that influence. Joining it on 37% is Y0755-0855-0714, Epsilon Eridani on 38, and Avic on 39, which recovered nicely during the week, putting 10 points of daylight between Hutton and Sirius Corporation in second place. Well done to those commanders that put in a few shifts, although looking at the mission points, it looked like you knocked off a bit early. At the top end of the systems league, we only have five systems above 60% and none above 70. So it looks like that azure blue is really calming. Meanwhile, in Colonia, we've just had a very, very late update from Arch King Hanky, Grand Kazi of all the Colonias, and that is to work in tier in the election against Jacques. And if you're feeling particularly energetic, you can have a bash at clearing both the civil unrest and the blight in tier. I bet he said that from Nando's. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in Barnard Star whilst there are no ongoing conflicts.
Never let it be said that there's nothing to do in this galaxy of ours. The community members are always organising extra events, and here's news of just some of them. As usual, links will be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. Despite my pleas to leave the Thargoids alone, Commander Hunter reports that last weekend's anti-Xeno tutorial event went well.
It was a busy weekend in Delphi where the anti-Xeno event took place. A lot of pilots, new and veteran alike, have gotten a taste of what it's like to be an AX pilot. Many bugs were squished and many ships had to be cleaned. Next month, another €5 tour. More information will follow next week.
The Fleet Carrier Consu is still making its way along the 124 waypoints of the Cannon Challenge, carrying armchair explorers through the galaxy, and Commander Mephisto has put down his Megajin to send us this update.
The Comfy Cannon crews visited 3 waypoints last week, making more way towards the centre of our galaxy. By now, the expedition has covered 2/3 of its 129 waypoints in 7.5 months. Number 84 featured Q01 type anomalies, which emit a blue glow and zap the ship when approached. That tickles. There were also calcite plates of different varieties floating around Luteolum, Lindigoticum, and Viride. At waypoints 85 and 86, anomalies of types Echo 01 and Lima 03, respectively, could be seen. The former shows mesmerizing cloud patterns in green hues. The latter is a swirl of light surrounded by twinkles. Waypoint 86 is also an impressive and beautiful system, with a black hole as the main body and ringed brown dwarfs with many moons orbiting it, all lying in a blue dust cloud. Here, the generous Commander Illyrium, his clone Commander Ilwandrium, is a cruise passenger, already weighted with his fleet carrier, Angel's Share, full of precious tritium to refuel Khonsu. In record time, over 17,000 tons of fleet carrier fuel were moved. Now, with a full tank, Khonsu will resume course, probably tomorrow, going far southeast.
The Wild West Expedition is staying true to the pioneering spirit of its title, and Commander Airman Dan has sent us this telegram.
Wild Wild West wanders off the deep end. The Wild Wild West Expedition has arrived at Ericsson's Star, the superlative tip of the westernmost spiral arm of the galaxy, where the stars wink out into blackness and the echo of the void is deafening. This week, a number of intrepid commanders navigated at the absolute upper limits of frameshift technology to reach this desolate and remote patch of red dust, manually plotting dozens of jumps beyond the capabilities of even the most advanced of ship's computer. Officially marking the halfway point of the expedition, the crew will regroup at the DSSA Hope Dempsey for one last time, before beginning the long trek down the western edge of the galaxy towards V1357 Cygni. Next week, the expedition will crowdsource its 11th waypoint, with Commander Airman Dan hosting a live-streamed Twitch event in which expedition members and guest viewers can provide direction to locate and navigate to the as-yet uncharted 11th stop of the journey. This unique opportunity to democratically select a waypoint has never been attempted in an official non-Hutton expedition before, the FTM Isfahan Mark I having been doing for ages until the unfortunate accident at Deso. And Commander Airman Dan reports excitement at the prospect of expedition pioneers using their knowledge to inform their choices in search of the Trek's next stopover.
Expedition All the Clouds in the Sky does not currently have the solar wind filling its sails, and Commander Diluvian tells us what happened.
It's been 44 days in space. The crew is mostly dormant, and I have to admit, I also have found it hard to spend time on navigating the fleet carrier Zodiac and moving forward. There is some progress, but we have not reached the Formidine Rift. Whenever I actually had time to fly, I relearned how to enjoy simple exploration. Searching for a good mining spot, as we are still concerned about the fuel, I took my DBX Pilgrim for a spin and started scouting from the system to look at those pristine icy rings. It feels just right when you arrive into the system and you realize that nobody has been there before. Sometimes I could not believe it myself, but indeed this is not the busiest part of the galaxy. So yes, there will be a couple of systems with my name on it. Commanders Dracomenda and D. Rainwater also helped whenever they could. So you will see their names here and there. I kept on jumping ahead, scouting and jumping Zodiac remotely. Draco said it was risky, but fortunately, Pilgrim's jump range is in a sweet 70-plus light-year range, after upgrading the FSD to the latest V1. I am not concerned. And as this is not yet the rift, there are still plenty of scoopable stars around. Yet again, the crew will have to work on backfilling around 6,000 tons of tritium. We all know that with the current extraction rate, it's not an easy task. There are rumors that you can actually find more tritium in an LTD hotspot. Guess what we've found? Overlapping tritium and LTD hotspots. Happy campers. We are going to test that theory.
The 26th are planning a little bit of a scavenger hunt. They're calling it the Bandit Run, and the idea is to collect 6 items. What they are is to be revealed later, no spoilers. And the place to deliver the bounty will be our very own Hutton Orbital, because, yeah, right, we don't have enough scrap or crap of our own. Commander DB Exterminer says that there are 2 prizes, each of 250 million credits. One for the pilot who makes the fastest delivery of the 6 items to Hutton Orbital, and the second for the pirate that has managed to steal the most cargo from pilots taking part. Rewards will be paid from his carrier, the War Daddy. This will be less a Smoking the Bandit meets Cannonball Run and more a Void Plasma Cannon Run. It takes place on 5th of November from Jackson Lighthouse. More details, the sign up, and very importantly the rules are all in their Discord. Could we ask a favour? Would the first pilot to make the trip please bring some milk? We're a little low at the moment, and the Kitten brand coffee with a touch of Mega Gin is a little bitter without it. And finally, the Megaling Experience, an expedition for explorers by explorers. As we mentioned last week, the Independent Explorers Association invites Hutton Orbital Radio to the Magellan Experience, their most ambitious trip to date, covering not only winter, but the first part of next year, November 28, 3307 to February 13, 3308. Commander Richard Fluranis M and the team sent this update.
For the Magellan Experience, the expedition route was published and 20 volunteers have been enlisted to scout the 109,000 light-year route. The expedition is 1 month old, but it had a very powerful start with more than 50 people signed up 1 month before it departs.
And that's all the information we have this week about community-organised events. If you want yours included, just email itookpart@huttonorbital.com.